This is TalkSport Extra Time. I'm Bob Ballard with you through until 6. Now, 2 weeks ago, we heard about Maria Sharapova's positive drugs test, the latest in a long line in different sports. Now, swimming is being affected. Yulia Efimova, the 100 breaststroker, has for the second time in her career tested positive for a banned substance. Why is that of interest to us? Well, mainly because one of her main competitors is a swimmer who trains in this country, trains in Plymouth under John Rudd, and John joins us now. John, welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bob.
Right, first of all, what was your reaction to it when you heard the news?
Well, I've already said to various journalists so far that it was one of disappointment, and I still feel the same. I think when it was the first drugs offence that came out, it was a serious shock, and now a second one, less so, but definitely one of disappointment.
Let's talk about the broader scheme of things before we talk about how it affects you and Aruta Meletite, who we're talking about as an athlete. For the sport, which has been relatively clean in recent times, what does that say about what might be happening underneath?
Well, the reason it's a disappointment for us is she is such a high-profile figure in the sport and had such a fantastic opportunity to be a great ambassador for swimming. And because of her achievements and her profile and all of those things, it's just such a shame for us that she's taken a route that means she's done the opposite and actually disgraced our sport.
So far, more than 100 athletes in various sports have tested positive for meldonium. Quite a few of them are Russian. Do you think this is the tip of the iceberg?
Well, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because we don't have all of the information to hand. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's a problem with sport generally across the world. And swimming's no different. And I think the recent investigation into athletics highlights that. And if it's happening in a sport as high profile as athletics, then there's a good chance that there's something happening in our sport.
The worrying thing, John, for me is the fact that though she's a Russian, she's based in the USA, which kind of taints their program a bit too, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know that it taints the USA program because she obviously only works with an isolated number of US coaches and sports scientists and so on. But it does raise the question of foreign athletes working within your nation. You have to be really clear on their ethics and their morals when you take them into a home program, just so that you feel safe and confident that they live by the same high standards that you would expect of home athletes.
Sharon Davis, who was herself the victim of a drug scandal with the Eastern Europeans missing out on a gold medal at an Olympics, has called for Efimova to be given a lifetime ban. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are that we should follow the WADA code and the laws of the sport. And we didn't follow it the first time. When I say we, swimming, we didn't follow it the first time when she had her first offence. The penance that she received was manipulated and manoeuvred. And I would hope that with a second offence, that we just follow the guidelines and the principles and the laws.
But recent examples don't give me much cause for hope, or you perhaps. We have the Sun Yang situation, the Chinese swimmer who was banned, but it was all kind of hush-hush and kind of banned in absentia, if you like. He wasn't given a chance to show on the world stage. He was banned until he suddenly reappeared. So at the moment, FINA, the world sports governing body for swimming, what should they be doing and how should they, if you like, clean up their act on this?
Well, I would just hope that they follow the laws that they abide by and the laws that they've declared themselves stringent to. And if that's the case, then we don't have any worries. And so we watch this space over the next few weeks.
How does it work for you as a coach when WADA updates their code and says, right now, this is on the banned list? How much prior knowledge do you and your swimmers get of what they can and cannot take?
As a coach, I don't receive any prior knowledge other than the fact that I would go and look at the list on a regular basis. But my athletes do receive written communication from WADA and from FINA. So in this instance, with this particular substance, my athletes were all well aware that they shouldn't be taking this in advance of the 1st of January 2016, nor that any of them were taking it anyway. And so therefore, for any athlete to turn around and say that they didn't get enough notice or qualified notice in advance, I find that really hard to believe.
Well, just look at the tennis example. Maria Sharapova, and indeed backed up by Novak Djokovic, says it's not done in a very good way. It's done in a rather haphazard way, so it's quite easy for certainly an individual within a sport to miss those kind of things like emails.
Well, my athletes maybe just read their emails a little bit better.
Does it just come down to that? Should there not be a kind of verbal communication so you're absolutely certain that that's the case? Or maybe it goes like you, through a conduit like a coach, to say, can you tell your swimmers this is the case?
I think whatever means and method WADA and the national governing bodies and the world governing bodies of sports, whatever methods they use, somebody could always turn around and say, I didn't hear that, or I didn't read that, or that didn't get through to me. So it's as foolproof as it can be. And for people who don't read that information, then more fool them. And for people who read that information and decide that it doesn't apply to them, then there's a degree of arrogance there that's just not appropriate for international high-level sport.
It's never good to happen in an Olympics year either, is it, this to be highlighted?
No, we want all of the best athletes in the world in all sports at the Olympic Games. You know, that's exactly what an Olympics is about. It's about bringing the best in the world together once every 4 years in a high-profile event that is one of the biggest things on the planet. And when there are people missing because they've decided to take shortcuts and illegal inroads in their sport to try and gain an advantage, then that's very, very sad. But we also must seek for each Olympic Games to be the cleanest it can possibly be. And therefore, if there are athletes out there that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing with substances that are clearly illegal, then we need those athletes wheedled out before the Olympic Games so that it can be the most level playing field that we can have.
What do you say to the people who say that the people who cheat will always be one step ahead of the testers? They'll always find a way. We've had the blood blocking, we've had all kinds of blood masking and things like that. That there will always be a way, they'll always find a way to make sure they are one step ahead of the testers.
Well, if that's the case then, Bob, then we are in real trouble, because look at how many athletes we're discovering. So if they are one step ahead of us and we're still finding as many as we are, then we're in a real pickle.
How do you think it compares with athletics tomorrow? Because obviously they've had a lot of adverse publicity over the last year or so.
Well, adverse publicity is one thing. We've just got to make sure the sport's the cleanest that it possibly can be. And it's all of us have a responsibility in that. That's coaches, athletes, sports scientists, strength and conditioning coaches, parents, and journalists. We all got to stand together and help our sports to clean up their act and get us to the stage where it truly is a level playing field. And our athletes, when they face each other at a World Championships or an Olympic Games, are wholesome and natural athletes that gives us a sense of fairness and equilibrium across those athletes.
How sure can we be that there isn't somebody within the British program who's doing this?
You can never be sure, of course. But I'm as close to sure as I could possibly be. I know all of the coaches in Great Britain that are working with athletes of this standard. I know the head coach, I know the National Performance Director, and I know all of the people in the national governing body. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that our country in swimming is clean as a whistle. And I would be the most surprised guy on the planet if that turned out to not be the case with any of our athletes. And so when you see British swimmers succeeding on a world scale, perhaps they're even better than we think they are, because they're quite often facing nations and athletes where they're not following the same wholesome and natural principles that we are. And so I have no doubt in my mind that that British swimming and British athletes in our sport are clean. And I'll be absolutely gobsmacked if that isn't the case.
Ruta, being Lithuanian, I imagine, isn't covered by UK sport, is she? So she doesn't have the kind of test that Ben Proud, your 50 and 100 freestyler, does. So how many times would UK sport or a drug tester from UK sport knock on his door at 6 a.m. in the morning?
Well, to be honest with you, I can't remember a time when Ruta and Ben weren't tested separately. They all seem to be tested at the same time. So if someone shows up to test Ben, quite often they'll test Ruta and Monique Nyhouse, and maybe Anthony James, and we get two or three done at the same time. So they are tested very, very frequently. They tend to give a time of the day when they know they're always going to be available, which isn't usually 6 o'clock in the morning, because quite often they're in the middle of the pool at that time. But they do get tested at training sessions, and they get tested at home, which is normally in the evening. And this does happen, I would say, between 10 and 15 times a year. And then they get tested again at competitions, particularly if they're medal winners. As we all know, their medals can't be ratified unless there's a test that goes alongside that. So when you take all of those times into account, it's almost impossible for guys who are tested this rigorously to get by on anything but positives.
Before we move on to the Olympic trials, which are just over 3 weeks away in Glasgow, final thoughts on this, John, about where we go from here and what you would like to see happening next?
In the sense of drug testing?
Yeah. How the sport, if there is a problem in the sport, how it's cleaned up and how it's cleaned up quickly.
Well, I'm really interested and intrigued by the whole happenings in athletics over the last year, and the investigations that have taken place there. And I think that we should be open to something similar in swimming, particularly with the nations that have or seem to have one failed test after another. And I don't see why, as a sport, we wouldn't encourage and support that. If it's going to be for the benefits of our sport long term, and it's going to enable us all to feel confident and secure that we're on an even playing field, then something along those lines, I think, should be welcomed and embraced by the sportswomen.
All right, on to happier things. Hopefully in just over 3 weeks, the Olympic swimming trials for Britain get underway in Glasgow. You have a very high-profile swimmer. You have a couple, of course, but Ben Proud is the one that's catching the eye in the 50 and 100. What are the prospects for him?
Well, I would hope that they're very good. He seems to be improving all of the time, and ever since the short course season finished in December, when he broke British records in the 25-metre pool, he's gone from strength to strength in the 50-metre pool as well, both over the 50 and the 100. We've concentrated a lot more this season on the 100 metres freestyle, even though he prefers the 100, prefers the 50, I should say, because we have such a fine chance in the men's medley relay when it comes to Rio. And we would hope that Ben is the guy that's standing up there on that final leg, which has traditionally been the weakest leg for Great Britain, the freestyle. So we've focused very much on the 100 to try and plug that gap, if you like, because the opening three legs have been so strong for a couple of years now that if we can get him up to the highest levels of world 100-metre freestyle swimming, then that's a true medal chance for us when it comes to the Olympics.
And actually making that final is going to be quite a job in itself, John, isn't it?
In the 100 freestyle?
Yeah, the Olympics, yeah. Providing he qualifies, of course.
Yes, indeed. The Olympic Games is a strange old situation, Bob. As you know, it's not like anything else, and the form book goes out of the window the moment you walk through the door, and nobody knows that better than me from 2012. So it's going to be a tight battle, and but I strongly believe that if we put that medley relay in with all four boys performing at their highest standards, then a medal's very much a chance in that medley relay.
Got any surprises up your sleeve for the trials of people who might make the team that maybe other people aren't expecting?
Well, I would say that Anthony James is always one that you've got to keep your eye on. Anthony traditionally has been one of our fastest butterfly swimmers in the summer, But he's over the last couple of years, he's always found it difficult to find his best form in Easter when the trials take place. So we've tried a few new things this year, and I'm hoping that Anthony fires on all cylinders when we get to the trials in April, and hopefully we'll see him as a strong contender in the 100 metres butterfly again for that medley relay.
Finally, John, what lessons did we learn from the 2012 trials? Because we had such great expectations after that going into the Games, which turned out to be rather flat. Michael Jameson was the only person who really came through, did something we weren't expecting. How do we make sure that doesn't happen again?
Well, I think we've spent the last 4 years in a new regime with new leaders looking at different strategies on how we can prepare for an Olympics, but without over-egging the omelette and concentrating on the things that we're good at, and making sure that we don't get too hyped and too overexcited, and that we just take things one stage at a time. And I think that we do have a very relaxed but focused team going into this summer. The successes of our World Championships in Kazan underline that. And those athletes are going to be another year stronger and another year fitter and another year more prepared, both physically and psychologically, for an Olympics this summer. So I do believe that we could and should have Great Britain's best ever Olympics in the pool.